I knew I wanted to work in HVAC, but didn't know where to start. So I found Florida Technical College. Thanks to FTC, I earned my diploma in HVAC. I'm Jesse Ama, and I'm a PM service technician.
See why Florida Technical College has been the choice of people like you since 1982. Learn more about our construction trade programs, including welding, electrical, and more at ftccollege.edu or call 888-981-9707. FTC, your partner in success.
Hi, this is Natalie Lander, voice of Kinsey, Tara Branford, Stargirl, and many others. You are listening to a W2Mnet podcast. You can visit W2Mnet.com for other podcasts about entertainment, video games, sports, and wrestling. You are listening to Video Games to the Max.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Video Games to the Max, number 238. And I am your host, Sean Garman. Here with me, as always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
And of course, we are a presentation of WTM Network, the official video games podcast of the website. And of course, in last, also in association with Last Word Radio and Last Word on Life. And, well, let's... I feel like we should go ahead and talk about this because it was really funny to hear or see this like on Twitter today, the vast difference between certain people of either you had the people that were going crazy trying to basically apply themselves to this G4 shout out that happened, or you had people condemning it because it was dumb and they should have official channels to do it, or you had people that are just being like, shoot your shot, do it, you know? And I don't know. I just wonder of like, do we even know when this is going to happen? Is this going to happen? Are you just wasting these people's time because you're going to wind up hiring people another way and it's not going to be almost any of them? I mean, like, what do you think of this whole G4 thing?
I thought it was really funny. Because the hashtag was like G4 needs talent or what was it? And it's like, when did you guys ever have talent?
Oh, come on now.
What? Like G4 sucked.
No, but the people that they had on X-Play were good.
I mean, there were people I liked on the network. I mean, Morgan Webb was okay. Cecil was a little too like spazzy for me. I think he's matured since then.
He's really good at what he does. Maybe he's not for everybody, but I feel like I always felt like I could trust what he had to say, and he really had genuine feelings about what he was reviewing or talking about.
Yeah, but I think the only two people I actually liked from G4, aside from those two, or, you know, aside from those, you know, them, and I didn't like them that much, but Diane Mazzotta, I think she was like the host of Filter, I think. And that was like a listicle show. Like she just like went down lists of whatever someone wrote for her. And the only other one, and I liked her a lot actually, was Layla Cayley.
Yeah, Layla Cayley. Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was there for a while.
She was. I liked her a lot, and I liked her because she didn't like try to front. Like you could clearly tell this was like a job for her. Like you know, she's not.
Oh yeah, she took it seriously. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't mean that way. I mean like she never played games. And she didn't try to pretend like she did. Like,
well, but they didn't have her really playing games. It was more like interviewing people, right? And like just talking about.
She was like the news girl.
Right, exactly. Yeah, just like she just did news.
Yeah. Oh, the other one I liked, and it was another woman, Ronnie Lynn Riley. She did Pulse. That was like a game. Pulse. That was like the news show, like the half-hour news show. And again, like she didn't try to front that she like pretended to like games or anything. That was always my big problem with like Olivia Munn is like she tried to pretend, and it's like no, please don't.
Yeah, I mean she was there making money. You know, doing
by jumping into pies. That happened.
I like Jessica Chobot and Blair Herder. Obviously, they wound up tying the knot and all that stuff, but they were good on. When Blair took over for Adam on X-Play, and then Jessica would do guest spots there, and then she'd show up on Attack of the Show and all that too. And I don't know her name at all, but there was a girl that did Electric Playground for a long time while that was still going. That went off of G4 and went on to Hulu for a long time.
That's a weird show because it's made in Canada, and it's like still going on technically, or I don't know. Yeah.
And the guy that used to be with Tommy Tallarico on, I forgot what the name of that show.
Judgment Day.
Yeah, he's the other host of that Electric Playground, or was. Yeah, I don't know if he still is.
Victor Lucas. He's like the main guy still, because he created it. So I don't think it's made anymore, but I think it's like a YouTube show now or something like that. But Jade Raymond used to be on that thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. She was like a reviewer or like a reporter, I think, at the time.
Well, everybody's got their start somewhere.
And now if you're thinking of Julie Stoffer.
I feel like I remember her name.
The one funny thing about that show also is they had that, like, they had, like, Gadget Girls on it, and Evangeline Lilly was on it.
Nah.
Like, this was way before Lost. I mean, yeah, she was like, basically like a model at the time, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's, like, for me, like, G4 is just too poisoned. So, if you want to have a gamer, like, network, I'd say bring back Tech TV, honestly.
I just don't know that you really, like, we already have Twitch, we already have YouTube. Like,
yeah.
Unless you're going to wholesale put the biggest YouTubers and the biggest Twitch people on that channel, it's like, I just don't know what they're going to offer that you don't already get in other places. And we already have a problem with people not watching that much TV.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, this whole year has proven that without, you know, having new shows for the most part, that, you know, people are fine with just having your thing on Netflix. And I mean, I'm sure Lovecraft Country is doing fine for HBO right now and all that stuff. But I don't know. I feel like this is not the time to... If there was ever a time where we didn't need a channel, this would be it. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be able to bring to the table that's going to go people... Like, I could see it being great for, like, the first month, and then eventually it will drop off.
I mean, nine hours of cop reruns every day, like, you know, just like how it was back then.
I mean, that's the thing, though, is, like, you know, where are people going to be... How are they going to distribute this? Is this something that you're going to be just... You're going to have shows... And you can catch them later on whatever thing that they sign a deal with? Or is this going to be an actual channel that runs 24 hours a day? Or
well, that's the funny thing about G4 is even G4 didn't run 24 hours a day.
Well, yeah. It ran, what, till like 2 in the morning or 12 a.m.? Or
no, it ran till like 4. And then from like 4 to 8, they just ran like paid programming.
Well, they got to make money.
Yeah. So. And then like past like midnight or like maybe like 1, from like 1 to 4, they basically just rerun the shows that aired that day, like, you know, X-Play or Attack of the Show.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what are they going to do? Like a bunch of like Twitch streamers, like here's a disrespect comedy hour, or, you know, give PewDiePie like a variety show or something, and it's like, please God, no.
Well, yeah, now, I mean, the cool thing now is that they could have, okay, biggest streamer, you know, with, so now you can have like, it'd be good for publishers, right? Because you could get, let's say X-Play is going to review the game, and then you can have an hour of like two or three streamers play the game or whatever, like stuff you couldn't do back then, which is nice. Like I mean, honestly, I feel like really what they could do is just, you could get like, you know, Giant Bomb should get their own part on there and do their first looks, the quick looks.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a show
I mean, the problem with that is like, well, at least with Giant Bomb is like the quick look doesn't have a standard format.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes it lasts 10 minutes, sometimes it lasts an hour and a half. You know, like.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they would have to figure out how to piece it into, you know, 50 minutes or whatever, because I'm sure if it's going to be a channel, that means you have to have commercials because you have to advertise. So then you got to fit it into like a 42-minute thing and there's more editing involved or whatever, but, you know, I don't know. Various things they could do, but it's, I don't know.
The depressing part is, like, I see a few people, like, that I respect trying to angle for, like, a show, like Austin Creed.
Right.
And it's like, hey, I like that dude quite a bit.
Yeah. Like, he could definitely be a personality for them.
Well, like, as a person, like, he's cool. Like, you know, it'd be great to be friends with him. Or, you know, you can clearly see he has a passion for games, and he seems like an all-around good guy. But, like, seeing him, I don't know if it's, like, desperation, or if he's just kind of, like, mocking it, or if he is sincere.
Yeah.
But, like, seeing him try to angle for a show on this thing, like, to be, like, a host or, you know, be on it, it's like, dude, why? Like, you're young, 1 year younger than I am. Like, you clearly saw G4 wasn't good, at the, you know, at the last 5 years it was on. Like, I just don't see why he has, like, such high opinion of it.
But are the same people bringing it back or the ones that were involved the first time, or are they just using the name or what?
I think it might be, like, one or two guys who were around the first time. I don't know, like, I don't know how much Adam Sessler would be involved, aside from that video.
Right, yeah, they used him, obviously, for that video, but...
I mean, I did see that they're trying to bring back Olivia Munn, and I'm like, oh, God, no.
Oh, no,
like,
that's not what you need. You don't need people that don't really want... There's so many women that love games that you could actually put on there. You don't need people like that anymore.
Yeah, there's a story almost a month ago about she was in final talks to, like, return to the G4 network for, like, a multi-year deal. And it's like, what? Like, is her career that dead? Like, her film career that gone that she has to go back to G4?
I mean, if she's just going to host and that's all she's going to do, and it's going to be – if she's going to host another Attack of the Show type thing, then okay. I don't care. But if – they're actually going to put her on a gaming type thing, then.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, you have an Andrea Renee who was also angling for a job. I mean, she just does everything.
I can see, like, her. I mean, yeah.
I mean,
I would
you
like
to. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, I mean, we both watched that sales documentary, the resale shop documentary a few months ago. Like, I would love it if, like, Kelsey got a show about, like, retro gaming.
Right, yeah.
Like, she's someone that, I mean, she's cute, but she has a personality and has actual knowledge.
Right, I mean, it's not necessarily so much about the looks. I think at this age, right?
No, like, it's TV. It's always about the looks.
I know, but I think I know that matters somewhat, or mostly still. But I'm just saying that if there's ever a time where we need, you know, the focus should be on the content. It's time period.
But they're not going to get, like, Grunhilde, you know, some 400-pound hunchback with warts on a TV show.
No. But there's ways to hide that, obviously, as well. You don't necessarily need to have host, but you can have that person.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want it to be, that's the thing is, like, G4, near the end, it really started populating itself with just attractive people.
Right.
And that's what I don't want.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather have, I don't care what the person looks like, honestly. I want them to be knowledgeable in whatever the show they're doing. Yeah. Or, like I said, in, like, the Layla Kaylee example, like, if she's just going to be a pretty face in the network, that's fine. Don't have her pretend like she's a gamer or interested in any of this crap.
The thing is, too, like, it's a much different ball game now. Like, you have social media that's there to basically be right in your face if you are doing something like that. So I think it's much harder for somebody to fake it because there's about 30 other people that will be right in line to take your job if you get canceled, you know? So not that cancel culture is good, but I'm just saying if that were to happen. I just think that the thing that does help G4 is, like you said, you just mentioned having a retro show. There are so many different niches that you can have now.
Oh,
because
sure.
Of all the personalities that are out there doing these things.
That's also the thing is, like, G4, when it was on, it was incredibly broad. It was like, we had, like, the news show was Attack of the Show. X-Play was, like, the review show. Filter was, like, the list show. And they had, like, a few other shows.
The Icon show.
Yeah, that was barely even on.
Yeah.
But they had, like, you know, Judgment Day. That was, like, another review show, but that had its own personality, obviously. They could have, like, they also had Arena, but that sucked. But they could have, like, a fighting game show or, like, the retro show or some stuff like that.
Yeah. Now they could just have a whole hour of, Overwatch League or whatever, too, to take up time.
Yeah.
So that's another thing, too, all these competitive gaming things that have popped up. If you want to take up time, just take up hours with that stuff, you know?
Right.
That's the thing, too, is how important is it going to be? This is the thing that we have to figure out is if this is going to be run like a actual TV network, then ratings are going to matter at some point or another, and you can't just shove on there anything that you want. Then, whatever. If this is going to be like another extension of Twitch or YouTube or whatever, and when maybe it doesn't matter that much, or it doesn't matter as much as if you're trying to run an ad revenue network on actual TV, then you can have those things. I don't know. I think G4 itself doesn't know what it's trying to be right now. But I just thought that was interesting that we're just throwing out. And I'd hate it for, I did feel bad for some of these people that are like going hog wild making videos.
Right.
And they may not even get 1 second of a look from whoever is making the decisions, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe it is okay to have a official channel to do this in for that reason, but
I'm sure the person who takes a look will be some dude in some cold business room or something or a committee. I mean, I think how it would ultimately be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's cool is if you really wanted to have a gaming central network, there's just so many things you could do now that weren't possible back when Tech TV G4 was around that makes this such an interesting possibility. But it's just, like you said, it makes me fear that all the good things will wind up being very small and it will wind up being a negative more than a positive.
Yeah.
But,
That sums up before the first run, too.
We'll see what winds up happening as the time continues here with that. That's not going to be something that's going to shape itself in a day. I can certainly assure you. But something that we did, I guess let's talk about this, really quick just so, we can get it out of the way and then we'll talk about games we're playing and stuff. So the Nintendo finally had the long rumored, long announced, long, like, basically, we know it's there, just Nintendo basically has to show it, 35th anniversary direct. Just suddenly showed up one day. It wasn't something they made a big, they've did the smart thing now of not making this big old hoopla for a week about their directs because people overhype themselves and then get furiously mad. They still got mad about what was announced here, but, I guess they had a certain valid point, in a way. But just going through this here, we can just talk about it all at the end. That I don't think we need to go one by one. What was announced was, a Super Mario Brothers Game & Watch, which, has the original Mario Brothers, the Lost Levels, and a special game starring Mario 1 package, which looked cool. Then they had the Super Mario All-Stars, which is...
I thought I was telling that wasn't the Super Mario All-Stars, the Super Mario World ROM or file.
Yeah, that's weird. They could have just done that, right? But yeah, I guess they... Well, they already have Super Mario World on there, right? Already, but
I mean, sure, but it's still a complete, complete package. I mean,
yeah. But Super Mario All Stars, which has the original NES games, all souped up with Super Nintendo looks, that's the way that I played those games. I didn't have my brother had the Nintendo, but I only played like Mario Brothers a few times. Most of my gaming started with the Super Nintendo, and then you had probably the biggest announcement outside of the collection was that Super Mario 3D World was coming to the Switch, another Wii U port, but this time it's going to have new content, which includes the Bowser's Fury portion, that's actually arriving next year. Nintendo always likes to do this. They have a some kind of Mario port or Mario game that comes out early in the, you know, Super Mario Brothers Deluxe or whatever it was. New Super Mario Brothers Deluxe came out, was it last year or this year in January? I think it was last year. So and then next year they're going to have this Mario World and Bowser's Fury. They also announced another Tetris 99 type game, but it's called Super Mario Brothers 35. Which basically cool. you play Mario, the first level of Mario, or various levels of Mario.
Yeah.
Against each other. And then something that looked really awesome, which is the Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, which lets you take actual, like, models of Mario and Luigi.
It's carts. Like remote control cars.
Right, yeah, like remote control carts, but you can also, you have the, also like a Hot Wheels thing where you can make your own track. And then you play it in the game on the Switch. So those will come out this year.
I don't see a lot of people having room for that thing. Because those cars look fairly big.
Yeah, they did. They looked really big. It was like,
especially with that camera on top.
Yeah, they looked a lot bigger than I thought they would be.
Also, I question how laggy it's going to be.
We'll see.
Yeah. But I also envision chasing around my cat with that thing. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that looks like really awesome for kids. Like, I thought about it, like, man, that would be some fun, something really fun to have to play with an eye or whatever. Randy was talking to me about it for, you know, for Chase. And that is it's like, it's just fun. Like, I could definitely see kids doing that. Like, let's make a track and let's race them around and all that. Like,
but I,
that, they that have video four, good for it.
They have those four gate things. I wonder if those are actually like part of it or not. Because how do you make a how do you make a track? Like that's kind of my question.
It looks like it's augmented reality, so I'm sure there's like a create a track thing inside the game, and then I don't know if you just make. It looked like they were. Those things that we were seeing on the Switch, they were making those out of whatever, and then you choose that as the gates.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Yeah.
Because what it looked like is they kind of built those gates out of other things that they had in the real world, and then...
Spare Labo kit parts.
Yes. and then, of course, the biggest announcement that we all kind of knew was coming was the Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Which actually comes out in the same day as W2K Battlegrounds on September 18th.
I wonder which one is going to sell more.
Right, exactly. So the biggest thing that the biggest, I guess, controversy from that is that after March 2021, it will be taken off the eShop, and of course, you know, they won't be making. It's a limited run. It's like almost like a Dizzy Vault type thing. A lot of speculation as to why, but we'll get into that. So, like, what did you think about stuff that was announced as a whole? And,
I don't care about the Game & Watch thing. I also think they'll sell, like, or, you know, they'll make four of them.
Oh, people will buy that. There's people that are going to buy that thing.
No, I'm talking about it's going to have a very limited, like, super limited run. Like, you know, the NES Classic or something, you know, something like that. Like, they'll make six, and no one will be able to find it in the store. Mario All-Stars is fine, you know, sure.
It's like great. I said, if you already have a Switch online, it's well worth it, you know.
Yeah, I don't have the room for that Mario Kart thing. But like I said, I'll be fun to chase my cat around with one of those. So the Switch, the Mario 3D thing is weird for a few different reasons. It's 64, Sunshine, and Galaxy 1.
Right.
What about that other Galaxy game?
Yeah, that was weird to me, too. Like, why wouldn't you have just went ahead and put Galaxy 2?
I mean, that's a fairly popular game.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was surprising. Okay. It's like, okay, so Galaxy 2 is just into the nether? It's never coming? Or what? Like,
well, they did a story a few years... There was a story a few years ago about they ported Galaxy 1 and 2 to the Android Shield tablet in, like, China. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, they probably clearly have some type of up-res Galaxy 2 file laying around. Like, what's the deal?
I guess they wanted to be able to say, well, it's $20 for each game. And
okay, but you could just say, it's $15 for each game. That's fine.
I don't know. It's weird.
Or could you just say, hey, it's $20 for each game, and also Sunshine is free because it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, too, like, that it's not like you really just have other games that you could have said, oh, we can make another collection and we'll put Galaxy 2 in it.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like, why wouldn't you have just done all of them together?
Well, it's like, what are you going to do? Make a collection of, like, Mario RPG, Mario Time Machine, and Galaxy 2.
Like, I mean, yeah, really. It's like, okay, so people are waiting for Mario RPG, if that ever comes. And then, yeah, you're going to stick Mario Galaxy in it? It's like, that's what's weird. And then also, it's Mario Galaxy 1 and 2. So you're just going to do 1, and then that one's just never coming. Is it going to get ported by itself later? I mean,
could be sold as DLC. Or they could just sell it independent.
Yeah, I could see that happening too. They like to do that now.
The remakes look fun, or not remakes, but like
the what do you think about good. the limited release?
That's another weird thing. Like, I'm gonna buy that thing physically because they're like physical crap. But right. Like, what if I bought a code off Amazon? Like past, like say I bought a code in like February.
Well, that code works, right? I mean, they're not going to make the same code for somebody else.
No, I'm saying, like, what if I want to activate the code in, like, May? Like, would it still work? Or just be, like, somehow, like, because you think about, like, movie redemption codes. Like, when you get, like, a digital movie, they have a date on them, theoretically.
Like, well, yeah, I guess if you try to activate it after it's removed in March and they don't have a file for it to grab from, then... Yeah.
That could be a good way to drum up interest. Or, you know, hey, I got this exclusive Switch game that's not on the marketplace anymore. I mean, Steam does that, or people on Steam do that all the time. Like, there are tons of games that have been removed from Steam that codes still work for that, you know, some people just still have.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to be interesting how Nintendo handles that. But, I mean, I feel like that's going to be such a small minority of people that. I think they're also going to have to extend that a little bit longer because you're going to have people that maybe buy that the last day. And what if they had to go to work and they don't actually get to redeem the code, so they get off work and it's technically like April 1st or something?
Yeah.
Is that code just not going to work anymore? Like, So I'm going to go more towards the idea of they're going to wind up selling these separately. And that's like, why they are going to...
You mean, like, past that date?
Yes.
Sure.
I mean, maybe it's possible the rumors of maybe they will start putting 64 and GameCube games on Switch Online by that point. But the fact that they're taking so long just to do Super Nintendo makes me feel like that's not the reason. Like,
right.
Like, I mean... If you would have told me that most of the stuff that's on the SNES Classic was already on, and they were just picking up, like, the dregs of Super Nintendo, and they were ready to move on, then sure, I believe it. But, like, they haven't even gotten to anything. I mean, there's a lot of that Super Nintendo library that's still around.
It's all either like Nintendo, some Square stuff, and like Capcom, and that's about it.
Yeah, so like, I'm gonna lean more towards the idea that they're just gonna sell them separately, so you won't be able to get them in a collection like that after the 31st, but you can buy them.
Let me ask you this then: like, how do you think the cart or the digital download will work? Do you think like if you put the cart in?
The cart's different, right? You bought it physically, you own it, you can play it.
No, I guess my question is, like, do you think the cart will just install the three games individually? Or do you think they'll have, like Mega Man X Collection? Like, they have, a kind of shell around each ROM that you can, like, you have to, like, play Guide Mario to Mario 64 and, like, start, like, hit A to play it. Or do you think it's just gonna be, like, three individual games? Because, I mean, if it's like the second one, or if it's like, you know, three individual games, that gives credence to your theory.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they would just load up.
Because it's not like, it's like that Mega Man X collection, or like the Mega Man Legacy collection. It's like, you didn't get six individual Mega Man games with the Mega Man Legacy Collection. You got one game that had all six games in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like also maybe they're going to raise the price on it.
Yeah, I imagine
when they sell them separately. That's also what they're trying to do, is you're getting a limited release for cheaper if you buy it between September 18th and March of 2021. If you wait till after, yeah, you can buy them a la carte, but you're going to pay more.
Right.
And how do you feel about the whole ice? I feel like this is also people being, yes, Activision did their thing, and they did a great job with those games. And I give them a lot of credit, and they sold them for $40. They didn't sell them for $60.
Yeah.
What do you think about these are basically like not even that much up-res versions the original games?
The only one that looked like it had work done was, Galaxy. And that's
good. Well, I mean, Galaxy you had to because of motion controls.
Yeah. Sunshine looked fine. It looked like better, slightly better, but I mean, it looked the same.
And 64 already had work done for the DS version.
Yeah. That's the one I wish that had been, like, if they'd really want to do, I wish they could have just remade 64 with, like, Odyssey's engine.
Well, now you see why they really went after that, PC.
Yeah.
Thing for 64, because they showed them up. So.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, I mean, it probably wouldn't be, like, direct one to one. But they could remake, I think they could remake a lot of 64 Odyssey's stuff. They just didn't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm going to pick it up day one, but I definitely will be picking it up before the end of the year.
Before it goes back in the vault?
Yeah, before it gets put back in the vault. I'm definitely interested in Mario 3D World Bowser's Fury. That looks awesome. And when I get Switch Online again, I'll definitely play All-Stars. I love that when I had it as a kid. And that Mario 35 game looks really interesting. I'm not big into the competitive, but yeah. I don't know. I'll have to see on the price for Mario Kart Live, because that's something that Nintendo could slap a $80 price tag on. Yeah. And I don't know that I want to pay all that.
I mean, I'll get that thing day one. I'm going to buy one game this month, so that'll probably be it.
Yeah, this is kind of it really wasn't going to be a big month for hardly anything, and then
now it is.
They announced this, so definitely. Yeah, but I mean, it's good too, because they needed to get that away from the November area where the new stuff is going to dominate. So
that's actually the one thing I'm shocked about, how quick it's coming out. It's like 2 weeks.
I know, too. I was expecting, like, maybe that comes out next year, too.
There's rumors, not as much about the Mario one, but there were rumors about, like, a Zelda collection.
Well, that's because Zelda, I think next year, it's their 35th anniversary.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I mean, they could do, Wind Waker HD and Skyward Sword has been rumored for a long time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. If they need to do Twilight Princess again, but they could do it.
Where's Wand of Gamelon? I want the HD version of that.
Right? Yeah, so both of us have been playing some games here. You got the Tony Hawk remake?
Yep. Got it yesterday. I played about halfway through the first game. About a third of the way through.
How is it? I've been hearing a lot of great things.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, Tony Hawk hasn't been good in almost a decade. Actually, probably more than that. The last good one to me is like Project 8. And that wasn't like that good. It was passable, but it wasn't like blow me out of the water or anything. But yeah, it's the same levels as like the first two games completely. But like, it just feels so much snappier. It looks great, obviously. I mean, it has it has almost everything from the first two games, except for, like, I think combo was in the first two games. You had, like, collect letters in, like, one long combo. I think that's gone. That's good, because I didn't like that much. But, you know, picking up skate letters, or, kick-flipping this this gap or stuff like that. Like, it's all in there. I mean, I was looking up, like, old maps in the first game to try to figure out where all the stupid school bells were in the school level.
And they're all there?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty well done.
Yeah. Like, you know, mostly the same soundtrack, at least, you know, the bands I like are in that soundtrack. Ton of new skaters. There's a lot of, like, customization options and stuff that I don't care about.
Yeah.
That might appeal to Yen, but not me. Yeah. Like, you can change, like, the deck color, skate deck color wheels, and I'm like, okay. Like, I don't care. Like, but, like, the same gameplay is just completely there from the first one, or the first two. Although they add stuff like the manual and the revert and stuff, but yeah, I mean, it feels like one of those games.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been enjoying the heck out of it. And
the only noticeable thing so far, there's one weird thing and one bad thing about it so far. The weird thing is you can create your own skater, and it it defaulted to this female skater. I don't really care, but I selected a male skater. Like, it defaulted to, like a white female skater. And, like, the skater next to it was, like, a black African male. And I selected that, and, like, my character didn't change. And I was like, huh? And I selected, like, a few more, and like, the face kind of subtly changed here and there. But, like, it still looked like 95% of the default skater. And I was like, well, what the hell is going on? Like, I think I'm selecting the right thing. Like, it's, like, highlighted, or it's, like, lit up. So, and I finally realized it was changing it, but, like, it didn't change any of the actual features. Like, I had, like, you know, African-American male had, like, short hair, but, like, the female skater had, like, long hair. And when I selected him, the face changed to his, kind of, but it still had the long hair, like, the long female hair. And I was like, what? Like, this is really weird. Like, I thought it was, like, broken. I was like, what's going on? Like a
credit character bug or something.
I finally, like, selected, like, no hair at all, and then it finally, like, loaded up into, like, the other characters, kind of. But it's still kind of weird, like, funky. And the bad thing, and this will get marked down for points, is no Bam Margera, so the game is dead.
Come on now. I mean, did they say get a reasoning as to why?
Well, I mean, he wasn't in the first two games.
Oh, okay, well.
I think he started in the third one. But, I mean, they have, like, the 12 original skaters, or 10 or whatever, give a number. But they have, like, 10 new skaters also.
Yeah, so why couldn't they add him, I guess? If he was during that time, that's who you thought of as well. Was
no, like, I mean, 20, like, huh? Well, they have, like, 10 new, like, current skaters.
Oh, current skater.
Yeah, but yeah, that game plays really good, as much as those old games used to.
Well, that's great to hear that they did that a lot of justice.
And that's a game, I mean, it has some microtransactions, I think. It's not, like, terrible.
Right.
But, like, that's a game you could easily see, like, hey, here's a level 3, or here's Tony Hawk First Skater 3 pack. Give us 10 bucks more for all the levels.
Yeah.
Be like, fine, you know, go ahead. Like, hey, turn this thing into Thug Pro. Like, go ahead. Keep adding levels. Yep. That's one of the three new games.
Well, how's that Project Cars 3?
That's really weird. I didn't play the second one, but Project Cars was a very simulation-focused racing game. It was basically like Forza Motorsport on like the PC, but like amped up even more.
Mm-hmm.
This game is not like that at all. Like, it still has some
arcade-y?
Of the... Yeah! But it's not, like, crazy arcade-y. It's crazy taxi. No, like, the driving model, it feels like a lot more... It still feels kind of heavy, but it's a lot more forgiving than, like, the old games.
So, like, Forza Horizon, then?
Maybe? But, like, it still has, like, no personality. Horizon was built around, like, the Horizon Challenge, and it also had an open world for you to just go explore. This doesn't have that. It just has, like, select a race and then go do it. Like, except one interesting thing is it doesn't have a driving line, I don't think. Maybe, like, the easier modes it does, or the easier difficulty. But every turn has like something to aim for. It's just this orange marker, like a kind of an orange target. It's like, that's where you have to, that's where like you're supposed to turn in at to get the best angle. And then it has like a blue X for like the apex, where like, where you're supposed to aim for out of the turn. Mm-hmm. And then if you hit both of them, you like master the corner and you get experience out of it. Like there's a lot of experience systems in this thing for like cars and yourself. But it just feels like half baked in a sense. Like it's not bad, but they don't go far enough into this thing to like make it really like exciting. Like the racing is still good. I actually like the racing, but it feels like a weird like half step, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So it's still fun to race, but it's not. It's just like racing for racing's sake.
Yeah. Like there's no. Well, like in most games, it's not like there's no like progression. I mean, like you do unlock like new difficult or new tracks and new championships and stuff, but that I need more at this point, kind of. But it has some good. Like it looks really good. The music's actually pretty decent. As you hear Drag Race go outside my bedroom window. It's an interesting game. I'll give them that at least. And my thoughts are generally positive on it, but it just feels like slightly odd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least it's not all bad.
Yeah, their bad game is, the Fast and Furious game. they made that too. That looked terrible.
So like, does it have like it doesn't have a story mode or anything like that?
Just pick a car, like starting car, and start racing.
And that's it, okay.
And also, the one kind of annoying thing is, like, right after you finish a race, it basically bounces you back to the race menu. And it's like, just take me back to the main menu. Like, I don't want to retry, especially if I won the race. Like, I don't want to retry it again. Like,
well, hey, I'm glad that we're having cars sort of agree with you in the background.
Yeah. So. For want of a cop, or at least a spike strip or something.
And how is the Wasteland 3? Which I should note that Wasteland 3 is also available on Game Pass. But yeah,
it's funny because I got the PC version, and I just gave myself like a bunch of money for like cheating. That's it. But I really wish I now in retrospect I wish I'd gotten the PS4 version, because that game is basically like Fallout, Divinity, Original Sin, like mashed together. You can play it all in co-op. You and your, teammate, I think, like, split characters up. You at least have, like, two different characters to play as, cause you start from, like, teams, or a team. Like, same, really, it's like XCOM kind of gameplay. Like, you can, like, move, and then you have, like, attack, or you can just move in, like, a bigger radius. But it's really good. I'm really shocked, cause I did not like Wasteland 2 at all. I thought that game was like really ugly and like overly complicated, like just because, you know, just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But this, like, a lot of it makes sense. You have infinite inventory, which is really nice. There's a lot of different classes.
Is it like a dungeon crawl, or is it like a strategy game, or
no? Well, it's like Final Fantasy Tactics, or like Disgaea.
Okay. So, like, strategy RPG?
Yeah. Every character has, like, action points, and you can, like I said, move and attack, or, like, do an item, or do an action, and take certain points away. It looks really nice. Like, one criticism of the second game was, like, it was all brown. It was all, like, Arizona, at least the first part, mm-hmm. and it looked ugly as hell. It's, like, a bunch of brown environments and brown, rooms and buildings. It's, like, Unreal Engine, huh? And I don't even think it was Unreal Engine actually, but like it looks like, you know, this looks very, it's in Colorado, so it's a bunch of white, environments, but no, it looks really pretty. It is just a really cool, like, grid, when like battles start, like it like pops up and there's a like, grid that looks really cool, like visually, and they're like types of characters, classes like sniper or soldier or medic, stuff like that. The story seems good. It's kind of like Fallout Light. I don't mean that like negatively, but it is. But it's not quite as like goofball, or like there's not really like a lot of like main characters in this thing that I've met at least, but that's fine.
So what's the point of the story, I guess? Or
the story is, like, you're part of the Rangers, like this Arizona group, and you need to, I think you got fucked up in the last game, and you need supplies and like men and, you know, just resources. And the guy who runs Colorado, this guy named the Patriarch, I guess his kids, he has two sons and a daughter, are trying to like take the state or take his, you know, his land or his, you know, state away from him or his little fiefdom. So they're basically there to put them all down. Like, you're supposed to capture them alive, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say they don't come willingly, or they don't, you know, they're probably going to have to kill all of them at some point. And yeah, that's kind of the crux. Like, it has good writing and good voice acting and good, like, music especially. But yeah, like, yeah, I think it's really good so far, but I really wish I'd gotten it for PS4 because then me and Ian would be playing it.
Ah, oh, sorry.
Yeah, well,
I tried. That was the one that I was given, so.
No, I don't blame you. Like, I asked for that initially, so. But, yeah, it seems like a really good multiplayer game. And, like, it does have some sense of humor. Like, it has, like, a bunch of, like, the standard, like stats, or, like, you know, skills, like weapon modding, or, you know, nerd crap. I think they call it, like, nerd stuff or something. But one of the things is, like, toaster repair. And I was like, what? So, like, and I have at least one character keep pumping points into that, because I just don't know if it's ever going to be useful, but I find it funny. And it has kind of a Suikoden vibe, or like a Ni No Kuni vibe, where like you can like recruit people back to your base and they will like fill it out, or like, you know, like add new job, or like add new business for you or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like I got an option for a guy. He's like a tailor, to like recruit him back to my place, my like home base. And I can't do it yet, but once I can, he'll go. But oh, yeah, it's really good. I'm pleasantly surprised. That you're enjoying it. Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of their games before either.
Well, anything else you want to talk about?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've been playing two games. Tell me why. I checked out, I think, like, I want to say it's half of Chapter 1. Chapter 2 is already out, and Chapter 3 comes out. It'll be out by the time we do the next show. It's actually pretty amazing that they did this in a way where pretty much the whole game would be out within, like, a week. Or within 2 weeks, the whole game's out. So, good job on Don't Nod's part this time, on having a much better structure for the game than, say, you know, Life is Strange 1 and Life is Strange 2. Which, to be fair, I did not. I think I played probably the first half of Chapter 1 of Life is Strange 1. So this is really my first time getting to play a Don't Nod Telltale game. Or
yeah.
Whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's set in Alaska. So there's a lot of white in this game too. So yeah, and the story is, I don't want to spoil too much, but this is basically the beginning of the game, is, you see a little kid get interviewed by a policeman, and he admits that he killed his mom. And then you fast forward 10 years, later, or I don't know how much later, it is from there. He is in a detention center because he would have been, you know, lesser than a juvenile at that point. And his twin sister, is in another part of Alaska, and they're gonna meet that day. And then their plan at the moment is to sell their old house. And then you find out things about the mom and all that stuff along the way, and that's as far as I've gotten. I just don't want to keep spoiling. I don't want to really, it's hard to talk about those kind of games because it's like, you don't know what you're really spoiling and then what you're actually talking about. But, you know, it is, I've been enjoying it. It's kind of it's been a long time since I played one of those kind of games. So it's kind of refreshing just to like relax and just experience the story. It has some like really nice, Vistas because they modeled this after Alaska. So I found myself like taking pictures a lot, which, you know, I usually don't do unless I'm reviewing something. So like it just because I wanted to maybe have that for later if we need to use it for something. But, yeah, I've been enjoying the story and just that game. So, you can get them on, get it on Game Pass or just pay $30 for the whole thing on, you know, PS4 or PC if you don't want.
Yeah.
Game Pass. And, yeah, just a pretty good deal for $30, three good chapters.
I don't know if any of you played Life is Strange 2, but almost everyone played Life is Strange 1 and liked it. That I know. So, I'm sure you have some superpower in this game also.
Oh, yes. So they are twins and they have the ability to play back memories. That's the power I've gotten so far. That they actually see the memories happening in front of them. And then they can also talk to each other with their voices. So that's, while he's in a different place and she's in a different place. So that's what I know of at the moment. I don't know if they further improve those later on, but yeah. And the other game, talking about powers, is Captain Tsubasa, Rise of New Champions, which is based off the anime Captain Tsubasa. And this is based off of the 2018 reboot anime, or I guess continuation of the story, because the original anime from the 80s is when they were in elementary school, and now they're in middle school. This is on, Switch PC and the other, PS4 and Xbox. So, I have both the PC and I got one code for WTM and then one code from 401. So I've been playing both the Switch and the PC, versions. Switch runs pretty well. I mean, other than the graphics looking better on PC, I didn't really notice, too much of a difference there. But I mean the visuals are great. I will say that it's all Japanese. So, you know, as most of the Bandai Namco games, they don't do translation. They don't do English dub. So, if you're one of those people that don't like go ahead.
They're those slackers.
Yeah, well, I mean that's one of the animes that Crunchyroll or Funimation don't have. You actually can only watch it on, I don't know about that retro, I've never checked it out, that retro anime thing that exists, network that exists, but yeah. As far as I know, it's actually not on any of the streaming services. You actually have to watch it on YouTube or, you know, other places. So, that being said, it actually plays a pretty fun game of soccer for being an arcade game. I mean, it's pretty easy to pick up and play. There is some much harder things you can master to get better. So that's very, helpful if you're one of those that like wants to play it on a hard difficulty. There's definitely, room to make yourself better. And they have like a nice like story mode that shows you some of that stuff where you get to play as Tsubasa and go through his story in like an abbreviated way. And then you have a like create a character like story where you create a character and then you can upgrade him depending on how you play, and it's kind of like the, it's not a story like the Journey or whatever. It's more of like a franchise mode where you create a character where you're not playing as that character the whole time. You play as a team, and then depending on what position you are, you can then decide to control that character. Whenever you want, and then improve your stats based on how you play, and then you can upgrade your team and upgrade your, and there's three different teams you can play as, but it basically plays to the same thing, just your different characters you're interacting with. But yeah, I mean, for having pretty lengthy single player stuff, they could have just added in that Tsubasa thing and then added in the multiplayer modes and that's it. But they added in a pretty lengthy story mode, so I think that's a tip of the cap to them for that. They didn't have to do that. So, yeah, I think for the most part, it plays pretty fun. I mean, it's not deep. It's not like, oh my God, I'm going to play FIFA and all that stuff. But I think if you just want some arcade soccer,
there's no arcade game. Captain Tsubasa Ultimate Team mode.
No, thank God. There's not. You can unlock, like, players and other teams by distributing, like, play points that you get, because it has, like, its own achievements thing inside the game, which I'm sure they're done as achievements in the other three, but, you know, for the Switch, Switch doesn't have achievements, so the game itself has its own achievement thing, and you unlock, like, points that you can then use to add special items to your team that you can use in the game, or because part of the thing is that some of the characters, you know, the name, the main, because there's main characters for each of the teams, they have characters that are, like, known from the series. So, and they all have, like, special shots that if you power up a power meter, which I think it's a little bit too slow, which is annoying, you'll, like, shoot this, like, super powerful shot, which actually is really well balanced, because they could have made this to where, like, auto goals, and they don't. It just depends on how many shots you've gotten off the goalie and how weak that goalie is at that time, and then it may go in or it may not. So,
I was going to say that Game & Watch thing that Nintendo's putting out is $50.
But didn't you expect it to be any cheaper?
I expected it to be more, actually.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be more than 50 or 60, but yeah, that's either way, right. But yeah, I've really been enjoying it. I'm not even halfway through the, like, career mode thing yet, so I
can't. Wait, it's like, is it like soccer or American football then?
No, it's soccer. It's soccer.
Okay. How does it compare to Blitzball?
Blitzball?
Do you play in an underwater, in a big water sphere?
No, you don't. But it is fun, and I think it's, again, if you're looking for, like, a soccer game, if you can get past, you know, just understand that you're playing, you know, an anime or whatever, I think it's worth checking out for people.
Yeah.
Speaking of games that are old, because we talked about old games earlier, The Witcher 3 is going to be on next-gen consoles, and it's going to be free if you already own the game. So that seems pretty standard for CD Projekt Red. They don't like charging you for things. If you bet it on PC, Xbox Series X, or, you know, Xbox One or PS4, you can get the equivalent with visual and technical improvements. So that's cool.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure Jens will want to play for it again.
I'm not sure if I actually own that thing or not.
Well, now's the time. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Not always is, but
yeah. I mean, I've seen it on sale for like $5.
Yeah.
At time. Vlambeer has shut down after 10 years. Of course, you usually see like Rami Ismail on Twitter talking about something game dev or
ranting about whatever.
Yeah, ranting about something. He rants a lot. His last candidate is called Ultra Bugs, and it's still being kind of on the way. He said that it lasted longer than he could imagine. It's a beautiful run that made incredible games that work with amazing people. It's time for new things. And so he kind of just announced that it was the end. He didn't say what, but yeah.
I don't know if you read the interview, because both guys did like an interview together, but it sounded like they were just kind of sick of each other. Like, not in like a I hate this person kind of way, but it's more like, yeah, we drifted apart and we just want different things. And yeah, but they also haven't put out a game in like, you know, 5 years. So
yeah, I mean, maybe like you said, they both kind of just wanted different things, and that's not bad either.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be exciting to see what, especially Rami does next. Like I said, he's always around talking about something. So I'm sure it won't take very long for him to announce whatever it is that he's doing.
Yet another new fishing game. That's all he wants to create is fishing games.
Well, I should have mentioned this every time I got to Tsubasa, but speaking of anime, Shenmue is getting an anime. I was surprised it didn't have one already. Crunchyroll had their Crunchyroll Expo yesterday, and apparently, along with Crunchyroll, Adult Swim is also going to get the 13-episode adaptation of the Shenmue game. And this will be, of course, for outside of Japan and China. This will be part of the Toonami thing. So, yeah, I mean, okay.
Yeah, I have no love of Yu Suzuki and Shenmue as a whole. So I'm like, all right, I guess. I don't think I'll be paying $300 for that Blu-ray series when it comes out. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
It'll only be because the Shenmue has that whole like, oh, it's a 24-part story or whatever bullshit. Yeah. And like Shenmue 1 was like the chapter 1. I think 2 was like supposed to be like chapters 2 through like 6 or 7 because they highly compressed it. And then I don't know what 3 is. Let's just say like
8 to 13. 3 is like till like 14 or something like that, what he said.
So it'd be funny if the anime ends where 3 ends.
Yeah, I mean, this obviously seems like a trial run. Like, let's see what happens with these 13 episodes. I hope they don't try to jam, you know, 3 games worth of stuff into 13 episodes. But, I mean, I've seen worse. So.
I look forward to the episode where it's just 25 minutes of Ryu just driving a forklift.
They should do that, right?
Just yeah.
Make it really slow.
And, it's still Sega. It's not Sega anymore, but if they get some Yakuza music, it'd be even better.
I mean, Sega's still involved with publishing it.
Okay.
You know, yeah. But, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. On a story that we talked about last time, Lab Zero has now let go of the rest of the employees that didn't talk.
That's a great way to build loyalty.
So they now laid off their remaining workforce, probably because most of the people that were in Portland left last time. So, I mean, I guess, what are you going to do?
Funny how that happens.
Yeah.
It's like, him and the janitor were the only two people left at the company, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, can you really call it Lab Zero Games at this point if it's just him and, like, nobody?
Well, I guess now it really is Lab, or maybe it's like Lab plus one.
Yeah. Gonna be interesting if he just stops doing stuff in games, or he goes to a studio quietly, or I don't know what. But sad to see that the whole Lab Zero Games had to go because of one idiot.
Right.
But
I mean, that happens quite frequently, but it's still depressing when it happens.
Oh, definitely. It's shitty. It shouldn't be happening at this point, but
like, I was getting depressed reading about Marvel Heroes last night. I'm like, man, that game was still cool. It was so cool. And then it was like one guy brought it down.
Well, and do you have any interest in the Avengers? I feel like that's the one game that came out that we didn't talk about.
Not at all. Yeah. Here's my rationale. Two reasons why. One, I'm not a huge fan of like live service games. Like, really?
Yeah.
The bigger issue is I've been burned twice by Marvel games, like being like live service games that just ended. Like, shit, I put money into. You know, one is a Facebook game and one is Marvel Heroes. And there's, you know, hey, we're shutting the game down 2 months. That's it. And it's like, okay, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Ain't gonna happen a third time.
I've heard a lot of great things about the stories.
I've heard a lot of good things about, like, Miss Marvel. But that's about it. Like, it's like, okay, the story might be good, but I haven't heard a lot of great things about the combat still, or, like,
the way it works. Like, apparently the combat is button mashy and not great.
Yeah.
Once you get past the story, the stuff where you have to just kind of do challenges and all that is, you know, like, rather blah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a game that I might check out when it goes on a sale. It's not something I'm spending $60 for.
It's a game I'll check out when it goes free to play.
Which, you think it's going to go?
It'll be about 5 months.
It's a live service in that all the characters are getting, like, DLC and stuff, but I don't think it's a... And that there'll be DLC characters, but I don't...
Well, I think they're supposed to be adding new story shit into it also.
Yeah, they are, but it's different. It's not like a multiplayer...
No, it directly is a multiplayer game. Well, it's supposed to be like Destiny. And it's like, well, okay, that also went free to play. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
See how long it takes.
It's Square Enix. They'll probably wring as much money as they can out of people. But ultimately, I don't think it has a good enough foundation for people to, like, really latch onto it. And it just, it, like, aside from Kamala, like, it just doesn't have a personality. Like, it's like yet another MCU game, but not with the MCU actors or likenesses at all. So, not MCU.
Yeah.
But that's a bummer. But, I mean, yeah. Yeah, also, I've known to play it with.
Well, that's true, too. That's the thing I've heard, that it's not very fun by yourself.
Yeah.
So, it's like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance kind of thing, too. Like, that game gets really old quickly when
you're playing. Well, I played that with Jens. That game had some fundamental design problems. So, right. I mean, if I played it by myself, it would have been worse.
Yeah.
But the first two were good. Like, the first movie games were good. Or like, even, like, the X-Men Legends games.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, yeah. So, now I have to get into some sad news here. Nolan Spencer has passed away, who's basically known for voicing Cyclops in X-Men, the animated series, and in various video games. He's, you know, the one that says Optic Blast. And that's Street Fighter, Marvel Super Heroes Street Fighter, Marvel's Capcom 2.
You used to watch that X-Men cartoon back in the day. He was very good.
Yes, he was.
He had a really good, like, all-American, like, heroic voice, which is fun. Like, the all-American part is funny because he was Canadian. I mean, that show was, like, except, I mean, everyone on that show was Canadian, I think, or at least Canadian or European, or, like, English.
Well, yeah, but it's like nobody's been able to, that voice for Cyclops is...
Yeah, he was, like...
pretty fantastic, I mean...
Yeah. He had that, like, stoicness, but also, like, the, you know, this, like I said, the heroic aspect to him, and the dude could yell gene splice pretty well in Marvel vs. Capcom.
Well, you've left us with that memory there, Norm, so...
Yep.
Rest in peace, sir.
I was gonna say, the guy who announced his death was the guy who played Wolverine.
Well, that seems rather appropriate.
Yeah, well, I guess apparently they were friends, so it's like, that's neat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad, but it's neat.
It's good that they were able to remain friends through that, you know? So I think for sure, it's always sad when you have any kind of death, but yeah, I don't know. We've been seeing these voice actors for games past recently, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe some of these WWE guys will wind up on G4, like you said, since they can't do Twitch anymore. So,
yeah.
Are they going to keep letting Xavier, I guess since Xavier is like, or Austin Creed is being, he's actually being promoted through WWE, I guess he's okay.
I can see being okay is like him and like Asuka.
Yeah.
Cause hers are more like a travelogue, if anything. It's not like she's promoting stuff. But yeah, that's a bad situation. And I expect it'll get reversed either by him or by the government soon enough.
Yeah, I know, I agree. I don't know. I don't think it will, cause it seems like people were upset about it, but most people understood. It wasn't like this outcry by everybody that was doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. I'm sure it'll be thing of the internet will make it a bigger deal than it actually really is for the people.
I guess my thing is, like, he doesn't want, you know, I think Paige just went by like her like natural name of Soraya. And it's like, isn't that, don't you not want that? Like, isn't that, like, breaking kayfabe? Like...
Well, it's not just that. I think it's also of, like, he doesn't want that because it's not... People know her face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not like people know that's Paige. It's not like she's unknown and you all of a sudden take the Paige name away and people don't know who she is. Plus, she had a movie made about her life, so they know that her name is not Paige. I mean,
I think it's incredibly, like, short-sighted. I don't think it'll go well over, like, the locker room. Well, at least with some, you know, I can't imagine, like, Randy Orton has a Twitch channel, but, like, some of those people do.
Yeah, like, I just see it as a, I get it if you want to tell them, please don't promote things that could be a problem if we make promotions with some of these companies, you know, whatever, or if we do. Like, I totally understand that, right? But my thing is, like, this helps your company. Like, if these people get a following on Twitch and all of a sudden start watching WWE in a time where you're begging people to watch WWE because, my God, you know, like, people are, like, the ratings for these shows are terrible right now.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's suffering. Like, even sports are, you know.
Except for AEW.
I mean, AEW's fine. It's not like it's knocking shit out of the park. It's okay.
No, I mean, it'll. I don't think it'll ever directly compete with, like, SmackDown or Raw, but it's routinely beating the shit out of NXT.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's fine. What I'm saying is, like, I think my point is, you know, even sports are down right now. Like, even, you know, it's not like we're just having these ratings blasts.
Right. Like, WWE is not, like, getting a 10, you know, a 10 share every, you know, every episode of Raw.
Yeah, I mean, they get hurt more than sports by the no fans, because I can't even watch matches that much anymore because you don't have the fan.
What, the 30 or so indie guys in the crowd, you know, in the crowd?
Yeah, and like, the sports, I can kind of, like, I'm used to watching that stuff on mute now because I have to watch a lot of it while I'm working either way. And, like, they film that stuff so well that it's kind of okay. Like, it's okay without you could definitely tell the difference, but it's okay without the fans. But, like, you need that crowd reaction for wrestling. Like, that's what makes those matches.
Yeah, but then also it's what ruins a lot of stuff as well, personally.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, but that's what those people thrive. Like, watching wrestlers, like, go to the crowd, like, there's somebody there, and there's nobody there, it's just weird.
Except for some guy in a TV screen doing a Nazi salute or something.
Yeah, it's, so, you know.
I just have to, well, the two funny things are, like, the first was, like, the justification, like, oh, WWE is in the middle of a rebuilding process, and they're about to, you know, enter the next phase of growth. And it's like, what? Like, since when?
Well, are you going to tell me that everybody's going to have a WWE-branded Twitch channel now? Is that what it is? Like, everybody's going to have their own YouTube that they can, but it has to be using your character and doing things the way WWE wants you to?
Or do you have to be in character, you know, on Twitch all the time? The reason I like Asuka and Austin Creed, like, on those channels is because they are being themselves.
Yeah, but I don't think you can do that completely because, like, on Twitter, they're allowed to be themselves. Twitter, they're allowed to say what they want and, you know.
I mean, you could say that, but I doubt it. I mean, I think certain ones, sure, but I still think, like, a lot of them have very, like, you know, they probably don't have, I assume, like, Austin Creed might have one, like, Asuka, but, like, I think a lot of people have, like, multiple people signed in, like, WWE, like, posting their clips or posting, like, reactions or doing stuff like that, like, some social media.
I know what you mean, but I'm saying, like, they are also allowed to kind of just, they can't say anything that disparages the company, obviously, but do have a little bit of their own autonomy as far as the things that they comment on.
This would be my, this is what I would say is also, like, if this remains in effect, like, let's say Roman Reigns is a huge gamer and somehow had a Twitch channel, I would completely disavow, like, the Roman Reigns official, like, WWE Twitter account and make my own as whatever his name is. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. And be like, if you want to see me, you know, on Twitch, here you go.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, I think it's very, just not going to be good.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I like it when the, when like Austin Creed, like he has like the Miz on and like you can just see those guys interacting as like friends. Like they don't need to like, they don't need to like have kayfabe all the time or have like some weird, you know, pretend reality. Like it's no, it's fine. We got
yeah,
it.
I mean, that's the thing though. Like is if there was ever a time where WWE wrestlers had power, it's actually right now when there is an AEW because yeah. Vince doesn't want some of these guys,
meanwhile, yeah.
Or girls to go to one of the other companies. I mean, that guy has enough money. I don't know if he could afford everybody, but he could afford quite a few people. And that changes their company around. You start having some of these bigger names show up on there.
Right.
I mean, right now you're having like, what, you know, Brody Lee and well, Chris Jericho's there, but he's old at this point. And like, you know, like, if you were to have Randy Orton or, you know, Seth Rollins or whoever's, like, you know, Becky Lynch or, Sasha Banks or whatever.
Renee Young.
Well, Renee Young already went over there, but I mean, yeah. Like, you know, if some of the bigger names got to go, or even yeah. some of the bigger names in NXT got to go, it would be a problem. Right, they couldn't just fire everybody. They couldn't suspend everyone. Like, you know, so, like, I think they could raise a stink about it if yeah. they really wanted to. But I don't know that they will because of that whole, you know, Vince and his lawyers are great at finding loopholes that make it to where, well, yes, he can tell you not to do this, you know, or whatever while you're working here. But, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
This is not a wrestling show, but,
I mean, you're more wrestling knowledge focused than I am, but I still kind of keep abreast of the business. And
yeah,
there are some wrestlers I like as like people, like, so this kind of bums me out for them.
Oh, no, definitely. It's bumming and it's crummy. It's just like, just shitty, you know, like you have how many people have side jobs? They have a job they do 9 to 5 and they have side jobs. And like you tell people, what if you told those people, oh, you can't have your side job. You can't have a side thing that makes you money. You know,
my response like, would be, then I guess my first job is going to have to start paying me more.
Yeah, but some people don't, there are a lot of people that do it because their first job is pay them more, but there are a lot of people that also do it because, well, I really want to wind up being a YouTuber. I really want to wind up doing this or doing that. And it's like,
oh. I mean, absolutely, but like, yeah. you know, WWE is like, well, the other thing I was going to say is like, I know he's not under the company name or under the contract supposedly is like, but like, what's his name? The bald dude or the big, the UFC guy. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
the big baby guy. Like, didn't he have like a outside deal with like Jimmy John's on his shorts? And right. So it's like, what if, you know,
well, that was because it was from USC.
Sure.
That he technically wasn't done, yeah.
But, like, you know, what if, like, oh, you know, WrestleMania was, like, funded by Subway? It's like, what are they going to have him change his shorts? Like, no.
Yeah, I don't know. At that point, they would have just had to live with it.
He'd probably get away with it.
Have him on TV that day.
Like, you know, well, like a big show, pardon the pun, but, like, SummerSlam or whatever. The two shows he does a year.
Yeah, this not have him on that show. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just interesting to think about because like he was like the one guy who got away with it, but he was, you know, he's special because he's such a good talker.
Yep. But all right, I think that's about does it for us here. So we'll be back. If you like what you heard here, you can always hit subscribe and on whatever place you like to listen to us on. We're pretty much available on everything. And you can follow us on Twitter at WTMSean, at Humanity Plague, follow Jens at Average of Silence, at WTM Network for the whole thing. Go visit that WTMnet.com. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep gaming, folks, and enjoy your week.
Later.
Sorry I'm late, everyone.
It's all right.
The meeting's just getting started.
Are you in your closet?
Yeah, it's the quietest place. Not the roomiest, though.
Getting closer with your closet these days?
That dinosaur costume behind you?
What? No.
The Container Store's custom closet sale is here to help with up to 25% off closet systems and free virtual in-home closet design.
Who wants Sean to put on the dino suit?
Really, guys?
The Container Store, where space comes from.
I've always enjoyed helping others, and Florida Technical College helped me turn that into a career. Thanks to FTC, I earned my degree and can help heal the world. I'm Vanessa Figueroa, and now I'm working as a medical assistant technician.
See why Florida Technical College has been the choice of people like you since 1982. Learn more about our healthcare programs, including medical assistant technician, allied health management, and more at ftccollege.edu or call 888-981-9707. FTC. Your partner in success.